I just love that tune. And that's because I love the person who composed it. Horace Silver, the late Horace Silver, and his quintet with Que Pasa. Horace Silver is on piano, Carmel Jones on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Teddy Smith on bass, and Roger Humphreys on drums. This is the title track of Silver's 1964 album. That's reaching back quite a way, but it's a good reach. Really beautiful music. Okay, this is Lead Stories. That's right, I should say that. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. Tomorrow, the studio is closed for Christmas. Some people go along with the Christmas idea, and I can't blame them if it gets them some time off to just hang out. That's great. So the studio would be closed, which means we won't be doing live programming. And so what I thought I would do today is push up our Free Your Mind Friday to today. Put it in the mix. And we will put our program together as we go, on the fly. So today is Free Your Mind Thursday. Yeah, I think that can work. That works very well. And if you prefer, you have a choice. You can continue the conversation we started yesterday, and that conversation had to do with how have we changed or grown in the last year, from what to what, and because of what. It's a self-assessment, but it's good sometimes to kind of say it out loud, and you hear yourself saying it, which is a kind of public confession. This is how I have changed. This is how I believe I have changed. And this is very good. It's a very good thing to do. It strengthens your character, and it also lets you tell yourself, it's an affirmation of where you believe you have come from and on your way to something else. Later on, we'll talk about what that something else is, but it's important just even to confess it, to let hear you say it. I feel I have changed, and this is how I have changed, and this is why. So, okay, so today is the first ever Free Your Mind Thursday. I welcome you aboard, and you certainly know what Free Your Mind is all about. It is your chance to express a point of view. Please make sure you are expressing a point of view, and you're not just yammering and taking up airtime. You should have something in mind that you want to comment on or critique or even praise, but it has to be of the order of an opinion, you see? That's the whole point of it. And you present your arguments that support your point of view, whatever that point of view is. It is not really important whether people agree or disagree with you. The important thing is, are you making your case well? Are you doing a good job of fortifying your points, making your points understandable and accessible to us? And so we will know that when you start talking and, you're hearing things like, meaning, just wrap this up, please, and save us the pain of listening to more of this stuff. But we find that we get really poignant and very perceptive points of view when people assess themselves, for themselves, and they analyze the situation that we're all living in. So that is exciting. So there you have it. Take one or the other. Either express your point of view in the way we normally do on Fridays for Free Your Mind Friday, or you may just want to carry over from yesterday the thrust of the program that we started yesterday, which was giving yourself a kind of grade as to whether you believe you have improved yourself, whether you believe you have moved forward, and in what way. This is a good thing to do from time to time, to just stop everything and assess yourself. Okay. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. And let's hear what you're thinking and why you're thinking it. It's a wonderful thing when you have the environment in which you feel safe to express your views. And it is also a testament to that feeling when people are expressing themselves. They're sharing their intimate thoughts with us. And you can tell that there's not really any hesitation to do that, which is a great compliment to us all. 888-874-4888. Let's not waste any time. Let's get started right away. Gary from Manhattan, you're on the air.
Hey, Latrice. Utrice.
I've been listening
all these years, and I don't even know your name.
It happens.
Utrice, what I'm about to say is going to make a lot of people upset. In fact, it could make you angry. And I know how you get angry. When you get angry, I don't want to be on your bad side.
Uh-oh.
But here it is, Latrice. Utrice.
Yeah.
All right. The problem is the same people call you every day. They don't call you once a week. They don't call you twice a week. They call you every day. Some people call you every day. And the problem is there is no radio show in the world that lets its callers call the same radio show every day. And this stifles the people who sit back and say, well, why should I call the show? Because the regular people are going to call, and they are far more articulate than I am, and so they just sit back and wait for the regular calls. And so I would like you to put on a proclamation here, whatever you want to call it, saying that you're only allowed to call once a week. Now, this is going to make your show, a lot of people aren't going to call. You're going to have a hard time getting people to call you when you do this. But I believe in the long run, you will have far more people calling you who never called you before and get far more views than you could possibly imagine. What do you say, Utrice?
Well, here's what I say. I don't regulate who calls and who doesn't call. I don't do that. The phone lines are opened. It means that if you have something to say, call up and say it. I'm not going to say, whoa, you called yesterday and then you called the day before and you shouldn't call again today. It's a free situation. You people who want to call can call. I invite it.
Yes, but you invite the same callers to call you every day, and that is simply...
If they are the ones calling, when, you know, I open up the phone lines, and it takes a while for people to get themselves together to make the call, I don't have the time to wait for that. I'm interested in who is calling and what they have to say.
Okay, then I'm going to put it another way, Utrecht. I'm going to put it another way.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to leave it up to the people who call every day should think about letting other people call. Instead of you regulating, I'm going to let the callers regulate.
That means that you'll be fulfilling a role nobody asked you to fulfill. It's a very simple thing. It's a show available to everybody. I don't have a list of, well, you've called four times and you've called twice already. Give somebody else a break. No. The phone lines are open. If you have something to say, get to it and say what you have to say. I'm not here to control traffic.
All right.
Whatever it is you have to say, let's see the energy you put behind that. I'm not going to slow people down or cross them off a list because they had called before. Wrong. And I think it is unfair to do that, to suggest to people they should not call. That's bad news.
Well, you're avoiding the main question. The question is, you don't think it's unfair that the same caller should call every day. You have no problem with the same caller calling every day. That is my biggest beef. And you say there's nothing wrong.
No, this is a very democratic process. Listen to how you're fighting democracy here. My thing is, the phone lines are open.
No.
If you wish to call, you would call. You know how the show works. I state what the subject matter might be, and then I say the phone lines are open. If people are going to sit around and be invited to call, no, that's not the show. That's a whole other show.
No.
If you have something important to say, you should be energized enough to take responsibility to make sure that you're heard. I'm not going to regulate, you know, who calls and how often. I won't do it. I've never done it.
Well, you don't have to, but I think the callers will.
Well, the callers, here's the thing. I resent the implication of tyranny at any level. If people are going to get so upset because they're hearing some familiar voices more often than they think they ought to hear them, that's their problem.
Oh.
The phone lines are open. Do you understand that? The phone lines are open. I am not here regulating anything. Nobody has instructions from me.
But you're still avoiding the main question. You're still avoiding the main issue, what I'm saying. Every day the same caller.
Here's the thing. Every day, look at it the other way. Every day, people have an opportunity that they refuse to take advantage of.
Oh.
Every day, nobody tells them not to call. Nobody tells them to call. It's an open forum. That's how I run this program. I'm not going to set rules about who should call and how often they should call. No, it's not going to happen.
Now, I wonder how your listeners feel about that.
I understand that you're sowing the seeds of discontent. I see that. But
yeah,
my thing is still the same. If you have something important to say in an open forum, you're not being charged, you don't have to pay a fee, you don't have to ask permission, you have something to say, then you act like it. Before I even start the program, you should be in queue. I shouldn't have to invite people to, well, the lines are open, and then I sometimes have to complain. Things are a little slow.
All right.
No, I'm not going to do that. just so you know, and let me be emphatic about it, I'm not regulating traffic on this program.
I understand your point of view completely. What you don't understand is what the people are listening, what they think. That is what...
Here's the thing that you further should consider. It doesn't matter what the people are thinking. If they're thinking, they let us know.
Okay, so I'm letting you know, and you're going to hear a plenty from people.
No, but you are one person. You are one person assuming authority to speak in behalf of a whole swath of people who didn't ask you to do it.
All right, but after I hang up, you're going to get a lot of people calling you back. I promise you.
So what? So let me ask you. So what?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm bringing up this up so other people can call. That's it.
No, you're bringing it up because not so other people can call. Please understand what I understand your role to be now. You're a provocateur.
I'm a provocateur.
Yes, because if people, you're assuming that people are so dumb, they're so incapable of expressing themselves, including objections, that you have to take on the job of articulating for people points that you think they would raise if only they had the chance to raise them. I'm asking you for proof. Show me or prove to me that this program engages in blocking people out and saying, "Hey, you called yesterday, don't call today." But where do you have proof of that?
Okay, Latrice, you are right. I am a provocateur. I can't even pronounce it. Okay, I am exactly what you say, and I am putting this in the minds of all your listeners, and I believe that what I'm saying.
Are you taking on that role? Why is it your business to take on the role of provocateur? Why do you relish that role?
Because nobody else is.
Why don't you say what's on your mind and leave it there? We're all grown. We have brains in our heads. We can compute things and figure things out as to what represents what we think and what represents what we don't think. You don't have to take on the burden.
What is on my mind is I believe there are people who have something to say who are not saying it because they're
waiting around. Well, that's too bad.
Waiting
for the person who calls
up every
day. Some people have something to say. This is a grown-up world. You have something to say, and I encourage it. I say it all the time. You have something to say, well, get to it and say it.
Right.
I'm not supposed to lay a carpet
sitting around
for you.
Don't call you to call. That's it. I'm telling you right now.
You have the whole thing wrong. I'm a host of a program. I'm not a babysitter. I am not somebody whose job it is to hold your hand and walk you through the processes of life. You have something important to say. You're a grown person, for crying out loud. Then take responsibility and make a call.
Right.
Or if you don't feel that you can make the call,
that's what I want you to do. I want them to get up and call you. That's what I want.
He can't resist the urge to be in charge of what people do. That's interesting.
No, I just want them to call. I want to hear other people. That's all.
Okay, so what? So let them call. Don't blame me. Don't blame anybody.
I'm not blaming you.
If you have something, you know, this is what is fascinating. I think of it this way. You have something important to say. You think what you have to say should be heard. Then see to it that it is heard. And it's very simple.
Well, that's what I'm doing.
It involves picking up the phone and making a call and taking your place in the conversation.
Well, there you go. You've said it yourself. Now you've encouraged those people who've never called you to call, and that's all I want. That's all.
No. I'm not encouraging or discouraging anybody. I'm saying I have a free program, accessible all to right. all. You want to call, fine. You don't want to call, fine. We're moving on. I'm not a babysitter. I'm not all here right. to cajole people and hold their hands and do all this handy-holdy stuff. You're a grown person, for crying out loud. You have something important to say? Say it!
Hello?
Say it! You know,
all I
but
want,
thank you.
All I want is the people to encourage people to call you. That's it. That's all I want.
Yes, but that's what you want. That's what you
want.
That's what I want. This is not about what you want. This is about how life works.
This is
how life works. I don't tell people, I don't start the program by telling or calling names and say, okay, it's time for you to call Fred and time for you, Mary, to call, and you should call Sam. No. If you want to call, call. You don't want to call, don't call. It's very simple. Couldn't be simpler.
Well, you do
but
say
thank you for your call.
You do say at the beginning that people aren't calling. Maybe they're a little busy or maybe they're a little lazy.
I don't care about what the excuse is. If you have something important to say, listen to my reasoning. Listen to my reasoning. If you have or you feel you have something important to say, get it said.
Right.
The number one rule I always tell people is try to understand the medium you're working with and how it works. How it works is if you, before the program even starts, you should be in line. But people wait until they are invited. Oh, please, I don't have time for that nonsense. I don't. You're a grown person. You want to call, call. You don't want to call, don't call. It really doesn't. It doesn't cost me any sleep. Not almost every day. I say it very often when it is so unavoidable. You can't help but see, and that's not the reason. I understand the reason. I know the reason that people are hesitant to call on certain subjects. Because it's a form of, for them, it's an invasion of their privacy. They don't want people to know what they're thinking. And they don't feel that they're in good company. They don't know how people will react to what they say. They're afraid because in their lives, they have never been afforded the opportunity to simply do what I think is so natural. They've never been afforded that. So let me hear your opinion. How many people do you think out there are used to having an opinion, let alone expressing it? They don't want to be naked in front of people. They have trepidation. They have anxiety. So they'll try and hang in for a minute to see how it's going, to get a sense of the tenor of the program and how people are, what they're saying. And maybe sometimes they just don't have the courage. But that's okay. I want everybody to know this is everybody's program. I say it all the time. This is not my program. I want everybody to feel perfectly comfortable expressing a point of view. And I see to it that whatever their point of view, you can feel comfortable expressing it. I will take you on if you go sideways, but not to the point where I'm destroying you. We're having a tough conversation, and I'm being frank with you. But no, I'm not going to beg people to pick up the phone and take advantage of a free opportunity. You don't have to pay for airtime. You don't have to book in advance. You don't have to do any of that. Just pick up the phone and talk. And there are no rules. I want to say that again. I have no rules on the show. I don't intend to have any. Thanks for calling. Good to talk to you. Deborah from Connecticut, you're on the air. Oh, 888-874-4888, by the way, is the number to call. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes. Can you hear me, Beatrice?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I want to say to, well, first of all, peace and blessings to the community. And then giving you props for your patience. You've got some real patience. And great patience, and I love the format of your program, and I know how you say no yammering, I think you used the word. But
Yammering.
No yammering, right. But the last caller, I'm sitting here inspired to call to say I don't agree with him that, you know, the people that call on a regular basis need not to call every day, because, listen, I've been listening to you for some time now, and I enjoy listening, and I call when I've been inspired to call. Now, I don't call every day, but I've called you the last couple of days a little bit more than usual. But for him to say that, you know, people shouldn't call in every single day, I mean, I don't have a problem calling in when I do. It's not like the line is busy.
No.
Last week I did try.
Let's get to the nub of this.
Yes.
I understand that he's got a particular peeve, but that's his. It's not
right.
yours. It's not mine.
Yeah. Right.
So move on.
No, I understand. But my point is, all the time that you are so patient with that particular caller, it's like now maybe 1:30, I'm only saying for him to say for other people to give chance for other people to call, that just took away from anybody that may be trying to call.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
You see, that's all I wanted to say. I mean, because
but he wouldn't, and he would say he meant well.
He meant well, but it put a wrench in the program because it didn't do anything in relationship to...
No, it doesn't. Don't make it bigger than it is. It's one guy has a pet peeve, he calls up to complain, and in complaining, and I have to say this, he's hoping that he would start something. And get disgruntled people to join him, et cetera, et cetera. I'm way beyond that. I'm past that. Since I was about 3 years old.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the way that you handle things. And I recently had a guest that visited my house last weekend, and she was listening to you on WBAI, and she didn't realize that you were on the PRN network. So you will have someone that loves you from the past re-listening to you because I was able to let her know that you are on this particular station.
That's right. That's where I am now.
Yeah.
This is home.
Yes. So yes.
Thanks
so that's
for calling in and
to
contributing
okay.
today.
Appreciate.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you for calling in. Neil from Connecticut, you're on the air.
Hi. Is this
have
Lutrice?
You just said it. Yes.
Is this Lutrice? Even after you corrected him.
You. It's you, Trice. U-T-R-I-C-E.
I know. I got a good laugh out of that. Even after you corrected the gentleman, he kept calling you Lou Trice.
Well, yeah. It's sometimes difficult for people.
And he's been listening to you for a few years. So I wasn't going to call in today. But after that guy, I decided I would. And
okay.
also, I couldn't resist the chance to get in on this Free Your Mind Thursday action. So I'm probably going to go sideways right away. So get ready to straighten me out. I don't know if anyone recalls the theme of one show being the Judeo-Christian tradition of this country.
Yes.
And I called in questioning that, and I rattled off at least a few books on the subject that the Freemasons actually founded the country. I'm not saying every president was, but most of them were, and I think are, Freemasons. So that Freemasons are a cult. They're neither Judeo or really Christian at all. They worship, it's a mystery religion. They worship Babylonian sun gods, etc. In other words, they're pagan. And I wanted to draw a link to another subject. I believe that the same so-called Judeo-Christians, but really the same Freemasons, have perpetrated a 500-year-old conspiracy. What's that, you ask? I am challenging any listener who is scientifically minded or thinks they have a hold on reality. I'm challenging listeners to prove to me scientifically, mathematically, that the Earth is a ball or that it moves at all. So, not just Harvey, but anyone else.
So what does this do, apart from the fact that it pleases you and your specific interest, but what does it do? How does it benefit the rest of society?
It might be a wedge into a subject that is completely taken for granted, that the Earth is a ball and that it's spinning 1,000 miles an hour on its axis, that's going around the sun at 68,000 miles an hour, that it's traveling with the sun through the Milky Way at something like 568,000 miles an hour. And I'm suggesting that nobody can really prove that all these things we take for granted are lies, that nobody can prove that the Earth is a ball or that it's moving at all. And I'll just leave you with the suggestion that there are more than indications, I won't call them proofs, but there are more than indications that would cause people to think about it all over the Old Testament. Just to start you off, Psalm 93.
What are you after? I mean, really, what is your concern here? What do you want to change? And what do you want to change it from and to?
I would like to affect, if not change, people's assumptions about so many things we take for granted, that the government is actually Judeo-Christian, that these vaccines are all been produced and disseminated for our good. So the wedge I mentioned is if I can get people questioning one reality, then they might question another one, especially if there are links. I did say the word conspiracy. I think that the heliocentric theory promulgated by people like Galileo, Copernicus, Sir Isaac Newton, Bill Nye, the science guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson, I'm saying that all these people are admittedly Freemasons. They don't try to hide it. They wear it on their neckties and T-shirts. And so if I can crack the shell of belief that people I feel are trapped in on more than just one level, if I can make a small crack in that shell, then it might cause a chain reaction. I think people are...
Well, actually, you're not being genuine when you say that. What you want is to cause an upheaval. You want to smash through what you perceive as widespread thinking and provoke a rethinking of a lot of these things. That's what you want to do. It's not a pacifist thing by any means.
I did use the word challenge, and now you caught me going sideways, Eutrice. the effect is not. I'm not. I'm not trying to cause upheaval. I'm trying to cause.
Oh yes, you are. If you are talking about challenging what you yourself label as belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it is interesting that you start that, or you start attributing these belief systems to, I mean, things that just cropped up the other day. What do you say about the belief systems of Kemet, of ancient Egypt, the people who pretty much put this whole body of knowledge into play? Nobody talks about the ancient Egyptians and what their views were and whether they were off base.
Their views were flat earth, as was most cultures on the planet up until 500 years ago.
Their views were diverse, just the same.
They began an
exploration of what the possibilities were. And we always talk about, you know, these kinds of subjects as if this cropped up just 2 years ago. And this is a long-held colloquium that you're talking about here.
The movement started a few years ago, for me, practically yesterday.
Well, there you go.
Conversion. Once I actually started studying it and investigating it and researching it, it was a very quick conversion, surprisingly quick conversion. 2,500 years ago, a guy named Pythagoras set forth the heliocentric theory, and 2,000 years later, the Freemasons adopted it. And they called Pythagoras, the first Freemason. They referred to him as the first Freemason. So, yeah.
Well, they're wrong. How about this? Well, how about this great revolution? They were wrong. There are people way before the age of Christ who were far more advanced in science and putting things out there that people felt that they were crazy. You think the earth is round? Are you out of your mind? What makes you think that?
The Egyptians did believe it was flat, as did other major cultures, up until 2,500 years ago. And then the actual conspiracy started about 500 years ago.
Oh, no. 500 is recent. When you talk about India and China and Africa, and you talk about the scholars of their day and what they pioneered in search of trying to understand what we today call the universe, they were miles ahead of anything that we have working for us now.
I agree.
Even with the help of all these instruments and cameras and whatnot. But these people in their so-called primitive state, in terms of scientific application, were dead on and dead ahead, as a matter of fact, of most of what you would read and study today. It is predicated on their theories.
I maintain all of their theories, and I think there were more than theories, because they did have real science, were flat.
Well, the point I'm making is they did not have the backup. They did not have the backup that scientists say they have today, and yet they were ahead. So we have to respect that. What do we want? We'd never acknowledge these people, these generations of scientists. We don't even consider them scientists. They're quirky. They have odd thoughts.
Well, I maintain that the common consensus worldwide was not a ball earth. That's more recent. The conspiracy I refer to is more recent. It's only 500 years old. But everything.
Yeah, but, you know, the point I'm making is why the insistence on resisting, including where these theories started? People act as if they're just inventing things, you know, okay, 500 years ago. That's a blink of an eye in historical terms.
Prior
you have
to
proof.
Ago,
you have
everybody
proof.
Said, everybody's, all cultures will refer to a flat Earth prior to 500 years ago. So
that's all cultures you know. That's the cultures you know and the cultures you study. They say that.
I'm saying all of them had a common consensus.
Yeah, but you could say that because you haven't, have you studied very deeply the cultures of India and Africa and Egypt?
Yes and no. Topically, I have, but they're included.
Those no. We're not talking topically now. You're talking science or you're not.
According to the ancient sciences, the Earth was not round and was not moving. The models are consistent throughout the ancient cultures. That's the only thing I'm suggesting here.
What is ancient?
Up to 500 years ago.
That's nothing.
No, I mean, that's nothing, but up from the creation of man up until 500 years ago, that's a long time.
When was man created?
According to Genesis.
Oh, no, well, you just lost your argument right there. According to Genesis?
Well, yeah, I know.
You're going to base an argument according to Genesis? A scientific argument you intend to prove quoting Genesis?
Well, I'm a believer who happens to understand that science, the true ancient sciences, from whatever the dawn of civilization was, are all consistent in their consensus that the world is not round. That became challenged by Copernicus and Galileo. That became challenged by Isaac Newton.
Copernicus and Galileo. I am asking you about African scientists, Chinese and Asian scientists, Indian scientists. What do you know about them?
I will come back with specific references. I'm not...
All righty.
For themselves. I will come back. I will back it up. And not just with quotations and scripture from the Old Testament.
And Egyptian scientists. What do you know about them?
A little more than the average person.
Okay. Well, apparently you forgot today.
I'm just a higher-ranking schlub.
Well, I like that attitude. Always keep yourself in perspective so that you cannot be accused of overreaching. Very good. That's a very good mark.
Since I called yesterday,
thanks so much.
Today, I can't call for another 2 weeks.
I told you my rules. My rules are whoever calls, that's who I'm talking to.
Get on the line. Yeah, that's right. Just call early. Get in there. Get on
just
that
call. Exactly. As if this is a big problem and as if there's some kind of an organized effort to promote some people and to block other people. Not on my program. It's never been the case in my journalistic life to do that. So,
I think he disproved his own argument.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Merry
Thanks
Christmas.
A lot. Thank you. Tony from Orlando, you're on the air, Tony.
Hi, Sri. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm calling to free my mind. I just wanted to declare that I'm a round earther. I believe that Earth is round, and I want any flat earther to prove to me that the Earth is flat, scientifically.
Well, it depends on what instrument you use to look at the Earth.
I just had the call because the previous caller was talking about flat Earth. And I know one of my friends, he's a flat earther, and as soon as the caller started talking about the Freemasons and whatnot, I knew exactly where he was going. hey, I'm just joking, you know what I mean? Because I don't care less if you think the world is flat or round or a rectangle. but I just had to call to say that I believe that the Earth is round.
Okay. As what was his name again? Yul Brynner said in the Ten Commandments, so let it be written, so let it be done.
yes, exactly. You know, if he wants it to be square, let it be square. Because I believe everybody has a world in their own mind. So if the world is flat in his mind, it's flat in his mind. And
okay.
So, like you said, so let
see
it be.
See how... Now, that's a perfect example of how peace in the world can be achieved. Whatever
exactly.
A person wants to think, let them think.
Exactly.
There's your opinion? Great. Of course, you know, when you walk a couple of feet away, you say, you know, you're wrong as hell, but that's what you believe.
Yeah.
And we have to pay attention to that and respect it.
And I like how you handled the part about the scientists, the ancients, and I like how you think about that, because we think of these of the ancients that we have documented, but you have civilizations that have existed that we have no idea even existed. Okay. We think of like, for instance, the Egyptians. We the previous caller wanted to cite Genesis in the Bible, and if you go by Judeo-Christian text, they believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. But when in fact scientists have discovered that the earth is actually much older than that, and the fact that civilizations are much older than that as well, human civilizations.
Much older than Judaism, much older than Christianity,
much older than
many of these organized religions.
Much.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yes. And we're talking about civilizations that we have no idea even existed, because because of natural causes due to the earth that has wiped out civilizations completely, and there's no record of them at all. To think that we are advanced at this stage just because we know how to tinkle with a little bit of electricity and things of that nature is just ignorant.
Well, it's always good to meet a like mind, because, you know, if we allow it to happen, people would have us believe we're crazy. We're crazy.
Exactly.
Because you think some funny things. Some funny,
exactly.
Funny things.
But that is the case. The fact that, you know, there were civilizations that existed that we have no records of, and they might.
You just need to go to Central and South America and look at the pyramids there.
Exactly. And even in Egypt, in Egypt, the Sphinx, what do you call those guys that they come and discover the antiquities there. It was the Europeans that wrote the narrative that ancient Egyptians were around 5,000 years ago, when in fact recent discoveries have come to understand that actually the ancient Egyptians were around something like 12,000 years ago, through evidence at the Sphinx. The Sphinx is actually, I believe, is like 12,000 years old. But because of religion, and the previous caller had mentioned Genesis, there's a certain timeline with Judeo-Christianity where you have to fit things into a 6,000-year span. So anything before 6,000 years, they can't accept as a reality. So when you tell them, listen, there was a civilization around 12,000 years ago doing these things, they can't wrap their heads around that.
Well, that's too bad, because the evidence is there. Let them quarrel with that. Thanks for calling. Thanks, everyone, for calling and being so forthright in what you believe. I think that is great. I just want to reiterate, there's no controlling who calls and how often they call on this show. It's not going to happen. It's free. It's available to everyone. Your big weapon is a telephone. You know, you call in and you express yourself. And, you know, be prepared. Sometimes you may get some adverse reactions. Sometimes people would question you. But that's how we grown people, folks. We're grown people. Let's deal with it from that perspective. You've grown and you want to learn more. You can't learn with a closed mind. You just can't. Secondly, is that I love the idea of people feeling comfortable enough to share themselves intellectually with us. Nothing to be signed ahead of time, and no agreement to not say this or don't discuss that. We're just open. Now, that scares a lot of folks. I understand that. But we move ahead. We're grown folks. And if it frightens people, some people, that people are doing this, so they're not going to do it. It's your problem. You have the problem. The problem is yours. Because there's nothing preventing anybody from having access to this program. Nothing. Pick up the phone, call in, and we talk. How simple is that? So we've done a good job by merging these concepts today of Free Your Mind Friday, made it Free Your Mind Thursday, and we also continued our discussion from yesterday. And we'll keep moving. We just keep moving ahead. I thank you very much for the implication of what you are doing, and that is you are endorsing this is the best way to go. You have no fear. You don't have trepidation. And it is not a condition of, well, first you have to know whether people agree with you or not. Please, take that someplace else. Have yourselves, those of you celebrating Christmas, a Merry Christmas. And hold on to your families and good friends. And take some time to appreciate the good things that you have in your life. And we see each other again real soon. Bye-bye.